black thing go from left to right, and I thought, I'm going to die out here. No one's ever going to know.
And I couldn't believe what my eyeballs were showing me. I'll never forget how evil the eyes were. It was horrible. I mean, I've never seen nothing that evil.
It ran towards me at a rate that I can't even explain. Turned and stared at me. And this look of, I just want to kill you. I want to say it was human, but it wasn't.
He was yelling at me to grab a gun, grab a gun. I was like, for what? He said, just grab a gun. And there's footprints all the way to the door of my house. It had went inside my garage all the way to the door.
911, what are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff, see
ya. Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
You're listening to Sasquatch Chronicles. Check us out online at sasquatchchronicles.com. If you've had an encounter, email me. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a great show planned for you tonight. We'll be heading out to New York, and I love New York. Actually, I have a ton of listeners in New York. More people listening in New York that might surprise you how many people are listening in New York. But I was contacted by Devin, and Devin had this very strange experience when he was hunting. And as him and I were talking, he said, you know, there was other witnesses there. My good friend Mason was there. And his father, Todd, and Todd trained them to, taught them to hunt and had taken the guys out to ghost hunting. They were never really into Bigfoot until after this strange encounter, and they kept going back to the place after the encounter, and you'll hear about some strange things that happened to these guys. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance to check out SasquatchChronicles.com, you can become a member and get additional shows. Let's actually jump into it tonight. I know Mason will be joining us shortly, but I want to welcome Devin to the show. Devin, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I appreciate you coming on, Devin. Thank you very much. And I know we have Todd, too, as well. Todd, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having us, Wes, and I just want to say we appreciate you, and you have been so validating to our experience. I think everybody else out there, and you've saved us thousands in therapy with psychiatrists, probably hearing similar experiences with many other people, sharing life experiences.
I appreciate saying that. Thank you so much for saying that. You guys had quite the experience when you were hunting, and I know Devin had told me you guys had went back. Who wants to start, Devin or Todd?
So I'll kind of lead off here a little bit.
Okay.
Just kind of give a little...
Yeah, Devin, tell us what you were doing and kind of walk us into the encounter, if you would.
So it was... just any other, hunting weekend down at camp while we were getting ready to go out for the afternoon, for the evening. And Mason and Todd, they were both about to go because the property was split in half between the New York and Pennsylvania border. Like the border ran straight through the property. So I was going to head north up the driveway into New York to hunt turkey, because it was fall turkey season at the time, and they were going to head southeast from me a little bit down towards the ravine that ran through the property, heading also north to south. And so they headed off on their way down towards the ravine and into the pines and all the thick overgrowth that was down there. And I started to move my way up the driveway. About probably it was a straight stretch for probably about a good quarter mile before it took a 90 degree turn. But at that point, it kind of ran through some logging area and logging road. So I wasn't going to go up there. I was just trying to stay more along the driveway. And I was just kind of, you know, just slowly just meandering along. It was a nice day and I was just taking my time. I had a hen turkey call that I had on an app on my phone that I was using. And just, I would stop every now and then and just listen. And I would use that call to see if I could get a response from a Tom, Jake, or a hen even, just something, see where they were maybe. Because we had been there excuse me, earlier in the year, just kind of scouting out the property, trying to, you know, see what was there, where everything was moving, set up tree stands and whatnot for deer season. And along the way, we saw a lot of turkeys. So I was like, well, let's see what we can, maybe we can get something there too. And so I was getting no responses as I was just kind of meandering my way along down the driveway towards the heading north. I was heading north. And so I was moving along for a little while, probably about, I probably have to say 20 minutes before over. So I was facing north at this point, and over to my right, there was a patch of woods that was flat just next to the driveway. And then it had a drop off at the end of it. You could see where it dropped and it started to slope and whatnot. And so through like the brush and the overgrowth that was there, because it was October, so it was early fall at this point. And so there were still like the red and green kind of colors. So it wasn't too open, but it wasn't thick. So I could see through it and I could see.
The leaves were falling.
Yes. And so I could see what looked to me to be a turkey. It was making no noise. I mean, it was hard for me to see. And I was kind of, you know, ducking down, looking around, see if I could see it. But I could see that it was right on the edge of the shoulder of the ravine, the drop off. And so I thought maybe it was just standing on the edge of that, maybe just, you know, popping up and down, looking around, seeing what's up there. Maybe it saw me or another hen. And that was when I decided to pursue. And so it was kind of moving north with me. So we were kind of paralleling each other. So I decided to take a diagonal cut across to see if I could kind of meet at it and try and spook it or surprise it or get in front of it even would ultimately have been my best option. And so it was not a far distance. It was, gosh, probably only a 20-meter little stalk I had to make just through the woods, trying to be quiet, move slowly, try and see if I could see a turkey's head popping up anywhere or see if I could see any more movement. I did a couple calls here and there. And I had, it was the Mossberg 590
12 835, 3.5-inch mag,
12 gauge full choke. I mean, this thing was a literal cannon. So I knew that if I blasted a turkey, it was gonna feel it. And so I was moving along, and I came up to the edge
of the ravine.
And so I was at the edge of the ravine, and there was this little shoulder that was just down below me. It was probably about a good 6 feet, you know, but it was a steep little slide down. I mean, I had to slide down to get onto it. And so I was standing there just looking around, see if I could find turkey tracks or whatever. Cause I was like, what the heck did I see moving? I was stumped. So I was like, all right, this thing either popped off down the ravine. Maybe I could pick up its tracks and follow it somewhere. And so I was looking around, and I kind of had this feeling that I was being watched at this point. And so I was just looking around for tracks. I kept feeling this like it's like something is watching me. But I kept just playing it off my head because I was like, okay, maybe it's a squirrel, turkey, whatever. But I was like, there is something watching me. I didn't know where it was or what it was, but there was something that was watching me. I had looked around a few times at this point. It maybe was a few minutes. I didn't see anything. So I stood there and I made one last call. And I was standing up next to this tree, kind of like, you know, Daniel Boone with the shotgun propped up on my foot. And so I was waiting to hear something. And that was when I had that, again, another subconscious feeling too, that something told me, you need to turn around and you need to turn around right now. So in my head, I'm like, okay, I'll turn around. I was 17 at this time. I was a young, ignorant teenager, even to myself. And so I started turning around, and at about my 7:30 position, just off my left shoulder, was when the corner of my left eye caught what did not make any sense. I mean, it caught something that made me spin around faster to try and see if I could see it. I mean, whatever this thing was made the biggest blur of a color that didn't make sense in location to where I was. It was close. It was definitely within, you know, if it had a few more seconds, it probably would have walked up behind me and tapped me on the shoulder.
Devin, can you describe what you saw? I mean, was it manlike? Was it, what was it that you actually saw?
So where I was in location to where this thing was above me, I could look up and I could see through the trees and I could see the sky. So it was kind of gray with, you know, the trees in the background of it. And there was not many leaves up there. So I could, you know, and it was this long, tall, dark brown, reddish, auburn colored blob, blur. I refer to it to myself as the ghost.
Well, how he described it to me, Wes, was because, you know, I taught these guys how to hunt. And so, you know, when you're hunting in a tree stand, you're trying to take everything in your view. So you can't focus on any one thing. So I used to teach the boys, look for horizontal movement in the vertical world. So we were texting each other a little bit back and forth, and it's like, what did you see? And he's like, I don't know, but I saw vertical position moving horizontally in a horizontal world.
Yes.
He was explaining to me on my terms. And in other words, something upright. Is that what you were trying to describe?
Yes, I was actually just about to get to that, because that's the biggest thing that didn't make a lot of sense to me. It was like, it's a vertical position.
In a vertical world.
In a vertical world moving horizontally, but making no noise. I mean, the first thing I thought was, okay, it's a bird. But I was like, no, that's not a bird. No. I'm like, there's no wings. There's no, like, okay, it's a deer. I didn't see a tail. It was definitely too red to be a deer. And it made no noise. And so at this moment, I saw that. I tried to justify it in my head for a second, but at this moment, I knew I had to move. I didn't want to be in the same position where I was. I wanted to be in an open area, because where I was, it wasn't that it was open, but I knew it had the high ground.
Yeah, and it was mature forest, old growth. When did you hear the tree knocks, like that alarm?
So,
you were texting me, is that you? And I text back, is that me what?
So at this point, when I heard that, I picked up this shotgun, and it was a short jolt to my right out to the driveway, which was open because there was a house right there in the big pasture. So that was the biggest open area to my immediate location. So I moved towards that. And so as soon as I stepped onto the driveway, I heard the biggest, loudest, angriest lumberjack completely just beating on a tree like it owes it money.
Like a machine gun, so fast.
It was so fast, and it scared me, because it was – at this moment, it was just kind of starting to snow a little bit. I was alone. I heard the woods was pin drop quiet. And then I just hear that noise. It startled me. And that was when I texted him being like, hey, is that you?
Yeah, and if I can interject, I'm several hundred yards down this edge of this ravine slash valley. And the reason that we were there that day was I had tree stands, wanted to hunt that over there, but I always feared hunting because any of your wounded deer always go downhill. And this thing dropped off and was so thick, it's like, we're not going to retrieve this. So I made the decision for us to hunt the edge of it because there was the three of us. So if Mason or I, which he's here with me, shot something, you know, I had these two boys because I was piled up with a couple spine injuries. And yeah, I can hunt, but I'm not pulling deer out. And that's when he had texted me, "Is that you?" And I was thinking to myself, laughing, he's like, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to be running through the woods to scare you." Now, if I was healthy, yes, I would. And that's why he had asked me that. And I could just tell from the text and talking to him, his state of fear. And these boys aren't boys that are easily rattled. We've been ghost hunting. I raised them tough. They're just regular outdoor. They're not flute players.
Yeah. So what'd you think, Todd? So Devin comes back. I'm assuming Devin, he left then.
Yes. So if I can, because I think I can see this in Devin's eyes right now that doesn't share this, is what he is going through in his head. And I got to admit, what we experienced that day was, there isn't a day that doesn't go by that I don't experience or think about that experience. And this was October of 2014, and it was just south of Wellsville, New York. Like he said, right on the Pennsylvania border. And I had leased this hilltop. It's good sizable property that we had up there. And, you know, driveway's 2.5 miles up. And so anyways, back to Devin. I'm sorry, as I get a little confused, you know, what was going on at the same time when Devin has experienced this? I myself, down this same valley, We had this first snow of the year happening, and strong squalls. So the wind would lay down, and then it'd be real windy. So at the same time that I'm over there, I'm experiencing this. I'm hearing a noise coming from this valley, and it sounds just like a whoop. And I'm laughing to myself. That sounds just like a Bigfoot, if I was to ever hear one. And it's like, nah, I'm justifying to myself. That's a beagle. And the sound's being manipulated coming down the valley because of the wind. And that's that. And that's when, you know, Devin is texting me, "Is that you? Is that me? What?" And then he's talking about the tree knocks. I could tell he was quite rattled. Now, my son Mason's between the two of us, and it's about 100 yards between us. And we're, I don't know, 300-500 yards away from Devin on the same ravine that's quite deep and remote for our area. Foothills of the Alleghenies. Well, we're in Allegheny County. And just about then, I'm hearing this owl. It's not dark yet. It's, you know, it's, I don't know, 3:30. It's not dark yet. And we hear this owl, and it's loud, and it's coming up the ravine after hearing a few of those whoops. And oh my God, it sounded like Bigfoot. But in my mind, I'm just laughing it off because no way, it's not in New York. And I'm texting my son Mason because as we're listening to these owls start sounding really complacent and bored. And we're joking back and forth. My God, that's the biggest and most bored owl I have ever heard. And Mason, what were you experiencing over there in front of your tree stand?
Well, I was hearing, I never really realized just how close to everybody was this day too, but we were rather close. And in all honesty, we were all hearing the same exact noises at the same exact time. I heard the same noises that Devin heard with the tree knocks. Like,
you
someone
could hear the tree knocks.
I could hear the tree knocks as clear as day. And it just like
a machine gun.
All I pictured was my ability to swing on a tree as hard as I possibly can. there's no way I could I could duplicate that noise. It's impossible.
That loud as with the frequency.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Boom, 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 boom.
It's nearly impossible for any man to do that, if you ask me.
And so do you guys leave after all of this?
Eventually, when it got dark, because we were hearing everything. We were
dismissing it and debunking it.
And in my opinion, as far as our knowledge and our interest, like, we've kind of always – we've never been ones to completely we've always kind of, you know, like, a possibility. It's not impossible, you know, but we never thought it'd be possible that something could happen to us. We never thought that. So as we're hearing this stuff, yeah, we've seen the TV shows, blah, blah, blah. We never thought that we would be hearing the same exact things in our neck of the woods.
So we're totally dismissive of what we're actually experiencing.
Exactly. I was in denial.
Yeah. So I think about this point, Devin is working his way back to camp under great fear and duress for his life. Mason and I are communicating and joking about this most bored owl. And then what does that owl start doing?
Considering the location and everything where we're at, I hear chickens. I hear chicken noises.
Going,
bop, 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 bop. You know, just a couple chicks out in the coop. Hanging out, making their noises that they do, and thinking about where we're at. I was thinking the whole time is, how is there a flock of chickens out here in the woods in this ravine? And the nearest, and as remote as this, the nearest farm is really far off.
Yeah. Now, really in addition to this, Wes, when the wind would lay down, we would hear rock clacking. I mean, these are large cobbles that something's picking together, click, click, click. And then I'd hear a reply to another one, a little bit different position, blow us out of this ravine. And it's like, what the heck is that? And it's only doing it when the wind's laying down and trying to sort this out. This is going on the same time as Devin is that you? And then we're hearing these owls and these rock clacks. And it became obvious to me that this is something very intelligent, communicating with one another, and they're coming up and out of this ravine. We didn't tie into this yet, Wes, was when we came down there that night, as we roll into this camp, it opens right up to this huge pasture. I mean, it's a couple hundred yards right when I get in this slot. I hit it with that million-watt candlelight spotlight, and right when I put it out in that field is these two huge red, they looked like LED taillights that had to be up in the tree. And it's like, we're like, what the hell is that? And as I'm looking at it, I just flip my wrist a little bit, and I see a deer bedded down, see the eye shine of that. I flip my wrist back to where that was. It's gone. Well, now after hearing your show and everybody else's encounters, we know what these red eyes were. And I think that night we had dismissed it. It owls sitting together in a branch down in the pines made it look like it was one. And as I went down there, I drove around where those pines were, and honestly, I was hunting in Pennsylvania, so I'm crossbow hunting. And I actually hunted off the four wheeler because I had a hard time walking at this point. Because of some injuries. And so as I was sitting there, as all this is going on in those mature pines, I hear these limbs pop and breaking. I mean, I'm like, holy cow, there's a couple bucks fighting right over there. And I, you know, slowly turn around to take a look at this. And it's like, these are serious mature. They're more like pines that you have out your way. And they're probably 2.5-3 foot trunks. Well, maybe not 3 foot, but, with limbs that are, 5-6 inches. So you know how you can bend those back, crack them, and they make a huge pow. That's what I was hearing. But it seemed as though I should have been able to see that. And that's the exact same pines of which we saw those red eyes shine. But we weren't really thinking Bigfoot then. Personally, what I think was I drove around that one Bigfoot, and he was a watcher stationed there, and it made perfect sense. And honestly, to this day, after listening to your show and so many people's encounters, I think he shimmied up that pine tree because it was big enough to do that. And he was there the whole time, right behind me. I mean, 20 yards, 30 yards behind me. While what I believe that the three of us were experienced was a deer drive, that they're driving these deer up and out of this ravine. And they had the closers, approximately three of them, stationed behind us. And that was the scary thing. When you were telling me you came back to camp and you heard those wood knocks in a different position. And me being the stubborn one, I didn't leave the woods until after dark. And you said that I was surrounded from what you were hearing from the continued rock clacking and tree knocks. Is that correct, Evan?
From the location of the noises that I heard, you were a lone man out there. It was like the Alamo.
And I'll tell you, what we had such a hard time getting our head around, too, at this point, we didn't know anything about them copying the sounds of owls, chickens. They remember when it finally went to a pig.
Yeah. The noises to me were is just, I guess, is just like a person trying to make.
But really deep.
Obviously deep and a larger noise, if that makes any kind of sense. But what it just sounded to me, it just sounded so terrible. Terrible, just copying of an animal. It just sounded
terrible. It was pathetic.
It just sounded just like a person trying to copy specific, you know, your everyday woods or farm animal noises.
And then started getting bored with the sound.
Yeah. It just sounded terrible to me.
Yeah. And some of the last hours.
I was sitting in the tree stand the whole time, like, what is going on down there? What are all these noises? this is terrible.
And then it's like,
I'm so bored.
I'm so bored of being an owl. Look, I'm a chicken now, right?
Yeah.
Then it was a pig. And Wes, that made sense because about a mile across this valley was this large pig farm, of which was downwind from us. So we were not hearing that. But it made sense to me that with these animals being in that area, it's something in their environment they're exposed to. Hence, they copy that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fascinating you guys say that. I mean, I've had many witnesses to where I remember one guy, he saw the same dive in the bushes, and he described it as an ape. And he said it dove in the bushes, and he couldn't figure out what it was, so he took his flashlight, and as he's walking out towards it, he was like, it started making pig noises, but it sounded like a human making pig noises. It didn't sound like a pig.
And, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it's kind of fascinating you guys heard that. So at this point, do you guys leave?
Well, at this point, go ahead, I'm sorry.
So how I've always been in the woods, I've always been a little bit, you know, when it starts to get dark, I got to get out just because I'm never been a big fan of dark woods. Just never been a big fan.
We've been ghost hunters a long time, so I've already freaked these guys out.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of hanging out till dark because my dad over here, Todd, he'd always stay out as dark as he possibly can just to see, you know, just deer, whatever's going on. And I've always just, no, Dad, I need to let go. This is spooky. I don't like it. So Devin, I guess, has been gone for a while. I didn't know. I was sitting in a tree stand, so like, and with a bow, and I'm technically, you could say, as far as other predators, I'm perfectly fine out of danger, but it's getting a little bit dark, and I'm like, okay, I'm a big chicken. I'm just going to go. I've always been like this.
Because you're hearing a bigger chicken.
Yeah, you know, and I especially didn't feel comfortable that day being in the woods with only a bow and arrow. I didn't like it. That was just, it just was not okay that day.
Did you feel like somebody was watching you?
Especially. Just incredibly, it was heavy.
Yeah.
It was heavy. It did not
feel
right.
See, I didn't have that feeling yet. I didn't have that yet.
Well, when I got back to camp, I walked up quickly. I was spooked. I was freaked out. And mind you, so me and Devin went to high school together. So we've grown up together. We're both the same age. We both know each other, our different quirks, blah, blah, blah. So it's dark. I kind of just hiked it up to the camper real quick, crossed the cattle field and whatnot, because I was kind of on the edge of the field hunting down into this ravine, and on the edge of the pines is this big cattle field. It's fenced off, whatnot. And so I just hefted up through, and I got to the camp, And so this is, so bow season in New York is October to November time. So it's starting to get dark around 6, 7, you know, or so. And so I get up to the camp. Devin's already there. And he's already got all his gear off, everything. And I'm just looking at him. I just got there. I'm like, Devin, what's up, bud? What are you doing here so early? And his eyes are huge, white as a ghost, just huge. And he is clearly, he's terrified. And mind you, this conversation like goes very quickly. He's like, Mason, I think I saw a ghost in there, Mason. I'm like, oh, did you know? All right. Well, what'd you see? He's like, I don't know. It was really tall. It was reddish brown, and it was just kind of a blur. But it was tall, it was big, and it moved really fast, and it was very close to me. And after that, I guess he huffed it out of there. And I have never seen him so just white in my life. Just white, like just all like he was terrified.
So I get up there, Wes. It's after dark, and I come rolling up on the four-wheeler. And I didn't realize that Mason was already up there. Devin was already up there. I was a little surprised. He's like, well, what are you guys doing leaving the woods already? And they have a roaring fire going. Every gun, which we brought a lot of guns because we were going to psych the rifles and the shotguns in that weekend. Every gun is loaded. Lena gets the camper with this roaring fire. And I come rolling up, like Mason said, Devin's, he is wide-eyed, you know, deer caught in the headlight. And it's like, what's up? And what did you experience? He starts to tell me. And we're standing around the fire. It's Mason. What did you experience? So we're sharing with each other the different things that we heard, felt, and so on and so forth. And this is what was really interesting is, now, I'm not saying we've been there and done that, but we got a couple bumper stickers and T-shirts of places and things that we've been and done.
Yeah.
And this roaring fire, everybody's sharing their encounter, and I look around the guys. I go, so, guys, what do you think it was? And there was this long pause. Wes, it was like this huge confession of guilt. All three of us at the same time. It's like everybody was afraid to speak first. Remember that? We all blurted out at the same time. I think this is a Bigfoot. Remember that?
Yes.
And I would ask Devin, what'd you see? And Devin's like, a ghost? And I think he says that because with some of our experience, it's you relate to things of what you personally experience. And because, yeah, we're just a Bigfoot. In fact, we've done a little research. Wow.
Sorry about that.
we have a little bit of experience and adventure of Bigfooting. That's another story for another day. But anyways, we're not easily roused. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. Something spilled all over
the place. No, that's okay. Yeah. That's okay. So do you guys leave now? I mean, is it or do you guys stick around and go, let's see what happens?
No, we stick around. It's like I've taken ownership to this place in a sense, and we're talking about it, and now it's starting to snow harder and harder, and we decide to leave to go down to town to, you know, go out to dinner. And as we're rolling out, now at this point there's probably 6 inches of snow, and we're up in those woods near Devin, and I get out, and you know, I got tools with me. I got a sledgehammer in the truck. I mean, doesn't everybody carry one? And so yeah, let's go out and do a tree knock with a sledgehammer. And that makes a nice low frequency thump. Does it moments later down from this ravine, we get a reply. So obviously there's some redneck out in the woods waiting for us to make a tree knock so that he can reply. So anyways, Wes, we continue to go down there every weekend. And what I'd like to do a little bit is kind of, because this all kind of ties together nicely, is back up when we first moved down there. Now, this was a hunting lease, and Mason and I moved down. You know, we get the toy hauler down there. We get camp set up and everything, and he's got a Black Angus beef farm there, and a couple hundred head, and, you know, the equipment's there, but it's the old homestead, but there's nobody up on this hilltop, mountaintop, just us. And So it's just starting to get dark. We finally got camp set up. Mason's got a fire going. We're going to throw on some venison burgers. And I'm talking to the farmer. Now, mind you, I just gave him a nice hefty check for the rights to hunt there. It's like, hey, Jim, come on, stay and have some burgers with us. And he looks at us like we're morons. Says, you kidding me? She says, I'm out of here at dark. And I'm like, what? He says, I'm out of here at dark. Now, this is this big, burly, no-nonsense farmer. He's climbing his diesel truck. I am out of here at dark. And I'm like, whoa! You know, literally intercepting him in his truck. He's trying to open his truck door. I'm closing his truck door. Wait a minute. What aren't you telling me? Like, honestly, Wes, is going through my mind. Is there like a meth lab up here? Moonshiners? What aren't you telling me? And he wouldn't tell me. But this guy, you can see the fear of him. He was out of there dark. And it's starting to get dark. And it's like, well, what's with the place? He goes, it's a crazy place. And I'm like, what's crazy? And he's like, well, it's just funny noises, strange lights in the woods, and I don't like it up here. It's like, are you kidding me? And I just, yeah, thanks, bud, you know. And Wes, we went down that checklist on this property of the crazy that we went through at this place. I mean, I don't really mean to take this over for everybody, but so that following weekend, I believe it was just you and I that came down. Were you there for the log across the driveway? So, Wes, the next weekend that we came down there, we pull up part of the driveway that only I drove up with my truck to my camper. Now, mind you, the farmer could come around another way to get to his machine shed, but only we drove up this part of the driveway. When we come pulling up there, there's this log that's about 2 foot around, perfectly wedged between these two trees. It was just literally like a gate, 3 feet off the ground. We're like, wow, isn't that crazy how that tree fell? You know, and interesting enough, it was a little tight there because, you know, I had a Ford F-350, and as I pulled through, I had to watch my two mirrors because it was a little tight. Well, these two trees created kind of a little bit of a V, of which conveniently could be placed this large log. Well, we dismissed it as it was just a tree falling. They do that in the woods. We go out hunting, come back from hunting. I fire up one of his a sizable tractor with a loader, try to lift the thing out of there. I couldn't lift it out of there with the tractor. I mean, that thing was wedged in there. Then we went out hunting again that evening, and by then the farmer had come up to feed the cattle, and he fired up the chainsaw and cut the thing out of there. And I got thinking about how strange it was for Wes. It was just the log. We come walking down there, and it's like, so where did this tree fall from? Where's the stump? Where's the treetop? And then later we realized that log was also rotten on the bottom, Wes. We're talking about a 500-600-pound log, 12, 14 feet long, that was placed just like a gate before our camper. And I felt as though it was directed personally at us. Didn't you guys?
Yeah. And we checked everywhere for where it could possibly have
fallen from.
Fallen.
There, I mean, how far does a tree fall from its roots?
No.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's really fascinating you guys bring that up. I experienced that in Texas, and I'm not trying to take over, but I experienced that in Texas. We kept going back to this one area, and we were getting vocals, and it's where I had the log thrown on my head.
Yes.
And one of the times we were down there, we left for a little bit and we came back. I mean, literally we came back like an hour later and it was like a tree was across. And it's not the first time I've experienced that, where I've driven past an area, come back, and all of a sudden there's a tree across the road. And I thought the same thing you guys did. I thought, oh, that's weird. I wonder where did that tree fall from? And it wasn't till we got out and had to move it around. I started looking around. I was like, this tree was placed here. This didn't fall. There's nowhere this tree fell. It was placed here.
Absolutely.
And it is very unnerving when you get that feeling. It's almost like, get out. I don't want you here. And maybe that's more me humanizing the situation. But that's how I felt, too, when I saw it. I thought it was directed at us for going in there. That's bizarre. That's really bizarre.
I agree, Wes. And personally, myself and my crazy thought process, I did take it personally. And even as a human, I'm not sure that I would have come up with and see that opportunity that these two trees presented of all the other trees and somebody to seek out a log specifically that size to fit in there. That was pretty amazing. And, you know, Wes, prior to that, we were influenced by, you know, the Finding Bigfoot. We thought that was interesting. And interesting enough, not long before our first kind of adventure into Bigfoot, and we had watched that Les Stroud series, and we learned about, you know, the tree structures and stuff. And, yeah, and that spring prior to that, Devin and I were out looking for a new hunting lease, and we're, like, south of Ithaca. And driving along through these woods, this timber company had these different leases, and we're checking them out. And son of a gun, I look in the woods, it's like, that looks like a tree structure. And without a doubt, we found our first tree structure. And then not far from there, there's a large parcel of property with historic Bigfoot sightings. I really don't want to say the name of the property. I'll tell you another time.
That's okay.
But near Watkins Glen in Ithaca. And I'll tell you, it's, you get up on those hilltops. I mean, well, that one parcel's that, you know, the state part's just 16,000 acres. Well, I remember us joking. We had just seen that Les Stroud thing. We were driving up. I think we were in your Jeep. We learned about the tree breaks and tree twist and limb twist. And we're like, oh, Bigfoot was here. Oh, Bigfoot crossed here. And we're just joking. And you know what, Wes? It's true. Yeah. So we learned a lot like that. Well, flash forward to our crazy camp south of Wellsville. Remember that when we were saying with our property as we walked around, boy, aren't you glad we're not seeing any tree structures or limb breaks or sign of Bigfoot here? Yes. Yeah, we sure are.
We honestly did say that, and we ate our words.
Yes.
We really ate our words.
What it is that valley that runs north to south is very secluded, very dense. Now, there is a remote road, seasonal road, that runs in the base of that. Which many times we go to cross it, there's a sizable tree across it, which I honestly now I think is pushed down. But I mean, this thing's steep. When you go down the thing, you go down on your butt. And then what we didn't know was on the west side. So in other words, from our prevailing winds, it would offer wind shelter. There's this bench, and Devin and Mason, you know, after this went down in there. So there's like this bench, I don't know, 25, 50 yards wide, like a step in this hill across this whole hill. And you wouldn't even know that was there. And what did you guys see when you went down there on that bench?
It was clear as day. Amongst the clearest tree structures I found, good old tree sapling. I wouldn't say a sapling, but it's 3 to 4 inches wide, and it's a pretty sturdy tree. One of those tree saplings wrapped around another tree, relatively the same size, kind of wrapped around it, bent through it, I guess you could say, with other sticks, other branches broken off, other sticks and twigs kind of just pushed into it, this making this weird kind of mess looking thing of trees and sticks you find in the woods, and very awkwardly and just not naturally put together. It takes a person with hands and stuff
and thumbs.
Yeah. To put it together. It does nothing. In my opinion, nothing else can do that. That takes like just a little bit of thought to do that, you know, not something of nature, in my opinion.
Yep. So we're now seeing our signs. Obviously, we had Devin's encounter, and this, you know, really opened up my nonstop kind of neurotic research into this topic and listening to everything. And it was shortly after this when I discovered your show. There's a lot of people out there I really respect, and I think they know what they're talking about. And others, you know what? And then, yes, we did all the mistakes, because what I have you guys do. Hey, here's some candy bars. Go down and put it on that tree structure.
Yes, we did a lot of
that. Yes. Take guns.
Yes.
Because I'm a good dad.
Yes.
Yeah, I hear you. I would caution you guys. I was telling Devin the other night.
We're not doing that anymore.
I'd be very careful with these things, because you never know. I mean, you guys listen to the show. Sometimes things turn out okay. Sometimes they don't. And the problem with these sayings is they're so unpredictable. I mean, I'd almost rather be cornered by a black bear because I would know better what to do than with a Sasquatch, because you never know what's going to happen with them. Did anyone else ever have any sightings?
Yeah, a little bit, but we had more encounters, and this goes right along with just what you were saying. So another weekend down there. Let's say it was opening day of gun season, rifle season. So I'd put a tree stand near where Devin had his encounter, and you know, I just don't foresee anybody opening day of gun season. Hey, I'm going to go screw around with this guy as he's up in a tree with a 30-06, you know, and it was false dawn. It was just starting to get late. I got a text that one of my friends had committed suicide. And, you know, I got to be honest, you know, I was pretty teary eyed and reflecting on my buddy. And at that moment, don't I get that rapid tree knock like an alarm being sounded? And it was just as though I should be able to see this through the forest. It's that close to me, Wes. But, you know, my vision was a little blurred and I just couldn't see it. So then another weekend, this is only a couple hundred yards from this position. I'm on my four wheeler. Now, mind you, sometimes I can climb a tree stand and sometimes I got weekends. I can hardly walk. So now I'm hunting off the four wheeler and I backed it in some pines. Now I'm down near that edge of that ravine again. And I'm backed in there and I'm just kind of settling in, you know, leaning back. I got one of those passenger seats that you store cargo in. It's sitting kind of empty, so it's kind of hollow. Leaned it back against that, got the 30-06 across my lap. I'm dialed in good here. Well, I hear this out in front of me, this rock clacking again. And it's like, damn it. And it's like sounds so close to me. And I'm peering through the pines. It's like, I should be able to see this. No less, I just crossed that area on my four-wheeler. And as I'm looking forward, west from behind me, I was yelled at, barked at, roared at. And on the introduction to your show, there is that series of ever increasing louder and more angry kind of a yell, bark of that. Rah, rah, rah. But being that I'm a hunter, I enjoy my calling, my duck calling, deer calling, goose calling, turkey calling. So you learn how to mimic noises and stuff. So I kind of like see these noises in my head. And it was like, Wes, it sounded like an African lion, but with the trumpet and length and veracity of an elephant, with the cadence, that pitch up and down of a Canadian goose that must be 29 feet tall with saber teeth or something in my head. And when this thing roared at me, I don't know, 50 feet behind me from the forest, and it roared so loud, it reminded me of, you know, when we go drag racing, that Top Fuel big block dragster, you know, blown with no exhaust, you know, thumping on your chest. And, I mean, my four-wheeler shook. The seat I was on shook. My organs shook. I never heard that before, and that was my encounter. And I'll tell you, Wes, the craziest thing, too, was I literally, like, swallowed because it was right straight behind me, and I'm like, nope, I'm dead. And this is the strangest thing was perhaps it was my subconscious, but it was almost like, I'm not going to go into mind speak or anything, but all I can tell you is what I felt. It was like I was being told, literally the words are, if I wanted you dead, you'd already be dead. And I don't understand my subconscious speaking to me in those terms, but that instantaneously went through my mind. And here's the other craziest thing. At that point, Mason was walking the edge of that ravine just down into it because it had snowed in hopes of finding tracks. And, of course, I'm immediately thinking about him. It's like, you're on the direction of my son. It's like I'm praying for him to pop out. Come on. I'm waiting for him to appear. And 2-3 minutes, 5-10 minutes later, he pops out. And he's like, I'm like, did you hear that? He's like, hear what? Goose would have been within 50 yards. And man, I thought this sound was so loud, Wes, that you could hear it across the state. And he never heard it. And it was as though that sound was almost like they talk about the theory of infrasound, as though it was really dynamically focused at me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. I mean, I've heard them scream. I've actually heard the roar before, but I was a lot farther away than you guys were. I was probably half a mile away. And even at that distance, I remember thinking, like, my liver shook. I mean, it was beyond, a lion's roar is the best way to describe it, but it was beyond that. It was like, even when you're close and they growl at you, it's like being hit with a baseball bat. I mean, it's a very odd thing to describe. I don't blame you. I would have been terrified too, especially being that close and having it go off on you. And
yeah. And it was the type of sound that it is like, you know, if you listen to whoop that they do, it almost has the cadence. If you have ever called Canadian geese, I don't know if you bird hunt, it reminded me of that in there, but yeah, a bark, growl, roar, and I cannot imitate the sound whatsoever. And with each step of it, the anger and the freaking hatred that had, I was dead. And I had had a hunting accident before that, so I just had a bunch of hardware put in my neck, and I'll tell you, I couldn't turn around. And do you remember that night when we had our first encounter sleeping in the camper? My head sleeps right by a window, and they're like, how can you sleep there? And it's like, I literally felt like something was going to come through that window and pop my head off. And Wes, that whole encounter ruined our hunting because none of us would go in the woods before dark. Everybody came out after dark. Well, that's the two best times for hunting. And then everybody slept with a long gun. Remember, we pulled the truck right up to the camper, pointed out as close as we could, you know, for that, you know, you fire left, you fire right, dad starts the truck.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. And I don't blame you guys. I mean, it would upset me. Have you guys been back to that area?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we kept going back every weekend. And we had more encounters. And, you know, it was funny and all the time we'd be listening to the show. So this is right prior to this is when you had that episode of, so has anybody seen the strange lights in the woods? Well, we thought that was interesting. And I was telling the guys about it. In fact, it was the night after Christmas. The boys are off of school and we're like, wanna go back to camp? Let's go figure this thing out. Yep. We go down there. Of course it's cold. And we're sitting on the valley across up by this gas well, and we're looking over to our camp. So I have my phone out, GPS, and I can see our driveway and everything, where relationship we are. Wes, along that top of that ridge, we're watching these little pin lights go along the ridge and then like fall down in this valley. At first I thought maybe it was coon hunters or something, but these guys are like falling down in the valley. And then there's another one, and there's another one. It's like, what the hell is this? Well, I remember hearing your show, you talking about those lights. So immediately I'm thinking that. I think we stopped counting at 43 of these lights. So we drive over to our camp. Now, mind you, we got to go down the valley, up and around. So it probably took me 20, 25 minutes. And as we're driving up our driveway that's a couple miles long, it's only my tracks in the snow coming down, and my tracks are frozen. So there's no hunters up here. And I get up here at the top of this woods near where Devin had his sighting is on this curve. When I get up there, you know, the heat of the truck, the boys, you know, had school all week. It's like midnight. They'd fallen asleep. I get out of the truck to take a leak. And I'm looking through the woods, and it's nice open hardwoods in there, well-managed hardwoods. And I see this light. And it's like, wow, I never noticed that over there. It must be a mercury vapor light from another hilltop farm. Then I glance over there again. That is not in the same place. And, you know, you're tucking in, taking care of things. And yeah, that light's getting closer. And here comes this light about beach ball size, meandering its way, I don't know, 6 feet, 10 feet off the forest floor. Just with intelligence, it's going around trees. And Wes, really the craziest thing was as it would like pass nearby a tree, maybe 3-4 feet away from a tree, as bright as this light was, it barely cast any light on that tree or on the forest floor. And there was snow, and it was like almost a bluish tint. And it comes along to the edge of that ravine, just like I was saying, what I was saying before. It paused and it whoop down over the side it goes. And I yell for the boys, get up, guys, get out of the truck. You got to see this. And they're like coming to what? Why are these big toolboxes on this F-350? And the way this truck's parked, they couldn't see through the back window. And I could tell they're trying to see what I'm doing. It's like, no, guys, you got to get out of the truck. Wes, here comes another one. And this one's like basketball size, but it's more of an incandescent light. So it's got a little bit more of a yellowish, orangish hue to it. Similar path, meandered its way, like with intelligence, similar path, paused and went down the ravine. Nobody else saw it by me. I feel crazy, but I literally like, so that's what Wes and Woody are talking about. And the farmer when he said lights in the woods.
Yeah, it's unnerving to see it. I mean, you know, and I don't know what the lights are. I have no clue what they are, but it's very unnerving because they're silent when they move. And
yes,
it is a very bizarre light to look at. It doesn't really, it's not like a flashlight. It's not like a spotlight. It's very, I wouldn't even say like a light bulb. It's a very different, it's so hard to describe the light.
Yeah, it makes no sense because it's bright. However, it like, gives off no light.
Yeah. What do you think the lights are, Todd?
I really don't know. There's a lot of gas there. This is old oil country. Right down the road, the foot of this hill is where the first oil well was in like 1890 or something. I don't know if it's something from the plasma from that. You know, the farmer had seen something. In fact, you know, I called him last night just try to get an update because here's another thing, too. Now, I haven't seen this, but my son did get a flash of it. What's with the Black Panthers at the same place, similar area, where people are having Bigfoot sightings? Because the farmer there, he has seen the Black Panther there several times, a different place where we go squatch. And my son got a quick glimpse of it with another fella. And what's with the same place that there's Bigfoot? You see these lights. And sometimes UFOs. We don't want to talk about that one.
Yeah, it is bizarre. I've always wondered if the Black Panthers, people are actually seeing Sasquatch. Because when they move on all fours, I think a lot of people are expecting to see, you know, a gorilla on all fours. And that's not how these things move. It's more like cats is the way they move. And so I've often wondered if the Black Panthers were actually Sasquatches people are seeing, just the way they move. It's not... I think people, when they think Bigfoot and they think Bigfoot and all fours, they think gorilla, and that couldn't be farther from the truth. It's very different from a gorilla.
Yeah. You know, I agree with you. I mean, I never thought about the confusion with the Black Panther, but I think that there's more black guys and black bears that are mistaken and blamed for it, where actually it's Bigfoot, you know, And I think especially being that they go bipedal, I mean, hey, what else would you think it was if you saw something moving, quadruped that's black? What else would it be that's that size of black bear? But that's true because, you know, like you say, from like the encounter that you talked about, like that Scooby-Doo thing on their fingertips, spider-like, that's really creepy.
It is very creepy. It is very creepy. I want to do this, guys, and I'd like to do a part two with you guys. I'd love for you guys to come back because I know there's a lot more stories as far as what's happening there. But what I'd like to do is go, kind of go around the table, and Mason, maybe you could start. What do you think Sasquatch is? And again, there's no wrong answer, so I'm just curious on what your opinion is.
My opinion? It's a confusing subject for me. Incredibly confusing. I think it's just kind of just another form of people that live out in the woods that are very different, but they're too alike in the same way. That's kind of my thought on that, to be honest. I don't know if they're paranormal, possibly. I don't know. It's something I believe in very true, but it's also something that doesn't 100% pertain to my life in every single day. So it's something I think about all the time, but something I don't at the same time. So I don't know.
No, I hear you. What do you think, Devin? What's your opinion?
Oh, gosh, that is such a
open-ended question. I'm just like, Mason, I don't know. I mean,
I have no idea.
All three of us, we all like to believe that the blinders upon our view of life has been opened because of things like this. But I mean, if I had to, I guess, jump on one bandwagon, I would have to go with the cryptozoological, just a creature that survived
undiscovered,
or just through genetic mutation survived.
Yeah,
that's a fair answer. Is that kind of what you think, Todd?
I think it's an oxymoron. And you know what I mean by that, Wes, is okay. So to be evade people, it needs to have, besides these skill sets, it needs to have these certain physiological features. So besides experience and things that are genetic, okay, so a deer evades us because of their sense of smell. Well, a deer's length of its nose is a certain length because it requires all these olfactory glands to smell like it does. Well, it doesn't have that. Well, to avoid human detection and like deer or other predators, it needs these huge ears that can cup individually and kind of like radar turn and listen to other things. So it would have to rely upon its hearing to avoid being discovered by humans. It doesn't have that. I think to evade humans, it would need to have eyes of like a turkey that see, you know, what, almost 180 degrees per eye. It doesn't have that. Granted, it's the predator, so it has the forward facing the eyes, so it can brachiate through the forest, so on and so forth. It's an oxymoron. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't make sense. It's out there, but it makes no sense that it's out there.
I think it's flesh and blood, but I'll tell you, people are experiencing some crazy things. Now, do I think they just disappear? Well, let me tell you, I can tell you about lots of deer that we've shot that have just disappeared. Or these huge bucks that all of a sudden somebody hits one with a truck down the road. Gosh, nobody's ever seen it. Well, it's just their skill set and when they move and the cover that they take. Yes, I understand a lot of that, but there is something else about them. I mean, why do they show up in graveyards? Why gravel pits and quarries? There's just
a lot of unanswered questions.
Yeah, it's impossible. It's an oxymoron.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait for part two with you guys. I appreciate all you guys coming on, Todd, Mason, and Devin. Thank you guys for coming on the show. I'll definitely have you guys back for a part two because I know there's a lot more to tell.
There is. Adventures of, we got about three places in New York we go squatch and we have some experiences and I really appreciate you and I thank you for what you do and I thank you for the quality of guests too, that you don't interview people that talk about seeing Bigfoot when they were still in their crib when they were 4 years old, and you have a better quality of people. And not saying that we qualify for that, but yes. Just a better caliber of pre-qualified people that you interview. And I'll tell you, I've learned so much listening to your podcast. So thank you.
I appreciate it, guys. Have a good night, fellas.
All right, you too, brother. You.
And that's it for tonight, everyone. Remember, if you've had an encounter, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. If you get a chance, check out sasquatchchronicles.com. You can become a member and get additional shows. Until next time, everyone.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.